Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Wommen, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the Believer's Authority was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
All right, let's turn over to Mark chapter 11. We've been teaching on the authority of the believer. And if you've missed any of this teaching, I encourage you to please get the CDs and DVDs. We've had the three previous services are already duplicated. This morning's service will be available within 5 minutes of the end of this service. We've also got a brand new book on the authority of the believer coming out, and we have a pre-order form out there if any of you would like to pre-order it. I'll be teaching on this in the month of April, and so if you were to go ahead and pre-order it now, you'd have that book and study guide when I'm teaching it on television. And anyway, it's just, this is an essential truth that you need to get. Last night, I had a woman come up to me this morning and said that last night she had all of these truths, like little bits and pieces around here, and last night it just connected all of the dots. It was like a puzzle that came together, and she said it had just changed her life. And I really believe that this teaching is one of the areas that there is a lot of misunderstanding, and because of that, we aren't seeing the blessing and the abundance that God desires, because we are waiting on God to do what He says He's already done and He gave us the authority to do. We are waiting on God to heal, to bless, to prosper, and the truth is He's already done all of those things. We've already been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. God's already done it. And now we have to take that authority and stand here and enforce and release what God has done. That's what we've been talking about. And I tell you, that is really powerful. Here is an example of this in Mark chapter 11. And this is where Jesus, this is the very last week of His physical life here on the earth before His crucifixion. He was going into the city of Jerusalem. And it says in Mark chapter 11, verse 12, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, He was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, He came, if haply He might find anything thereon. And when He came to it, He found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And His disciples heard it." Well, this is an amazing thing. You know, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I have, every time I minister on this, somebody says, why would Jesus get angry at this fig tree? It says specifically that the time for figs wasn't yet, so why was He upset with it? You got to remember that Jesus is the Creator. He created fig trees. He commanded fig trees to produce figs at the same time they produce leaves. If the fig tree had leaves, it wasn't time for it yet, but if it had leaves, then it should have had figs. This fig tree was a pervert. It was a hypocrite. He commanded it and told it how to operate, and this fig tree was operating differently than what Jesus commanded fig trees to operate, and so as Creator, He had every right to do what He did. And He turned around and just told this fig tree. He didn't touch it. He didn't throw salt on it. He didn't do anything physical. He just spoke to it and said, "No man eat fruit of you hereafter forever." And it says that His disciples heard it. And so He went into the temple. He cast out the money changers. This is the second time He did that in His ministry. He did it the very first of His ministry. He did it here at the end of His ministry. And then it says in verse 19, "And when the even was come, He went out of the city." Apparently, He probably took the same route that He took in the morning, and He went back to Bethany. In verse 20, "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." Now, if you read this same passage, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 21, but Matthew's account of this same thing says that when Jesus spoke to the fig tree, anon it died, or that's the old English word for immediately it died. Matthew says it died immediately. In Mark's account, they walked back the same way that evening, didn't notice it. It was the next day. It was 24 hours later that they saw that the fig tree was dried up. So which was it? Did it happen immediately or did it happen 24 hours later? It's both. It's both, because it says right here that they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. What happened was the moment that Jesus spoke to the fig tree, instantly it was dead, but it died in the roots. And it took about 24 hours for the death that was in the roots to manifest itself in the leaves and in the stems of the plant. You know, if you cut a rose off, the thing looks like it's alive at first, but it withers. The moment you sever it from that rest of the plant, it's dead, and it's just a matter of time. You can put it in water and put sugar in there and prolong it and make it look better for a while, but it's dead the moment that it's cut. And that tree was dead the moment that Jesus spoke to it, but it took about 24 hours for what Jesus had done to manifest. Boy, there's some great parallels. That's not my point here today, but that is a great lesson that, see, when you believe for something, the moment you believe, you have to believe that you receive when you pray. That's what Mark 11:24 says. You have to believe you receive when you pray, not when you see it, but when you pray, and then you shall, future tense, have it. But the moment you pray, God did it, but it may take 24 hours or 48 hours or a week before what God has done becomes visible in your body. You know, when you pray for healing, you could pray for a healing of cancer and you could curse cancer and command cancer to die, and cancer could be dead at that moment. But it's going to take a while for your body to recover from the effects of cancer and for your body to repair itself. And a person who doesn't understand this and just immediately thinks that their strength should be full strength, and they think that immediately everything should be 100% normal, and they don't understand this, they could sit there and look at their body or go get a test, and because the test didn't reflect what you were praying for, then you get into unbelief and you stop the whole thing. But you know, if a doctor gave you some kind of a shot and said, this kills cancer, I guarantee you it'd take a while for your body to recover. If cancer was totally dead, it'd take a while for your body to recover and regain its strength and get your appetite back and gain your weight. If you've lost weight, it's going to take a while. God's not going to instantly put 30 pounds on you. Praise God. It takes a while for your body to recover, and people don't understand this, and so they just pray, and if they can't instantly see a manifestation of what God has done, then immediately they get into unbelief and they stop the power of God. Even though it was working on the root of the problem, the thing is over, you just didn't stand in faith because you thought, well, if God had done something, it would be total manifestation. That's not the way it works. Here's an example. Jesus spoke, the fig tree was dead instantly, but it took about 24 hours for what Jesus had done to become visible to the sight. Boy, that is a powerful truth. And anyway, when his disciples saw it, look at the response. It says in verse 21, Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto them, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And we don't have the benefit of hearing the inflection of his voice, but I don't believe he was saying, Master, the fig tree that you cursed is withered away. I believe that he was shocked. I believe he was just overwhelmed, like, Jesus, look at this fig tree. You talked to it. You didn't touch it. You didn't do anything. And this fig tree is withered away without you ever touching it. He was overwhelmed. And I don't believe we have the benefit of knowing how Jesus said things. In verse 22, I don't believe he said, have faith in God. I believe Jesus was like, guys, when are you going to start believing? Have faith in God. Don't you understand what faith will do? They were shocked at Jesus' power. He was shocked at their unbelief. Why would you expect anything less? He said, I cursed it. I said, no man would ever eat fruit of that tree forever. Why would they expect anything less? And then he began to teach his disciples how he did this miracle. And look in verse 23. It says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Jesus here is explaining how he did this. This is a great miracle. You know, sometimes when we read over things, we just read it in the Bible and we don't really think about it. But, you know, if we walked outside of here and if we were walking down the sidewalk and I just saw this tree and I said, you're dead. And then tomorrow, that tree is just totally dead. Nobody touched it. I guarantee you that would be impressive. That's what Jesus did. He didn't do anything to it. He just talked to a tree and a tree responded to words. That's a miracle. This is a major miracle. Sometimes we just skip over this, but this is major deal. And he's showing us, how do you do things like this? How is it that you take control of your situation and change things? It's by words. Three times in this verse, he said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Three times he mentions words. And brothers and sisters, you know, our society today, we don't believe in words this way. I mentioned this briefly last night, but boy, people lie all of the time. We just went through an election, and you know, you can just nearly, they've come up with this test to tell if a politician is lying or not. You look them square in the face, and if their lips are moving, they're lying. I mean, it is just amazing that people just lie. Our news media is lying and deceiving us, and just, we become so used to it that, you know what, words don't mean much. There's a lot of people that just turn on a television or a radio to just have noise in the background and don't even think about it, and yet the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Every word that you hear is either ministering life or death. For you to just have something on in the background and not even be tuned into it, you're just releasing death into your home. Most of what you hear, most of it is death. Even on Christian television, there's a tremendous amount of death being spoken. And so you can't just turn on the TV or the radio and let it go. It's producing death.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the Believer's Authority. The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book R327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series RM234 or DVD series R3205 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The fourth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the fourth teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
Once again, I'd like to encourage you to take advantage of what we call the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. This is actually my footnotes on over 9,000 verses in the Bible. It's in a Bible program. You get three versions of the Bible with that. You get four Bible dictionaries and commentaries, and mine is one of them. And the reason we call it a living commentary is because as I write footnotes every month, there are updates available. We have a sample of this on our website, so I'd like to direct you to that. You could actually check it out and see, and you could sign up right online. But check out the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. I think it's going to be a tremendous blessing to you.